Today I'm scheduled to have some blood work done. It's just a part of my annual physical checkup, so it's not a big deal, but they're going to take me on Friday. They're going to put a needle in my arm. They're going to draw blood. They're going to put my blood under the microscope. They're going to take a good look at it and see if everything's okay and if there's any precautions that I need to take. And I'm fine with that. I don't mind having my blood taken. There's a lot of awful, horrible things that doctors can do to you. So I'm good with it. Tonight, before we take communion, I'd like to do a brief blood analysis. I'd like to do a biblical analysis of the blood of Jesus Christ. The juice that we're about to distribute represents the blood of Jesus. And so, what does the Bible say about the blood of Jesus? By the way, blood is a very big theme in the Bible. The word blood shows up some 427 times in the scripture. It's been said, cut the Bible anywhere and it will bleed. Christianity has been called a bloody religion. And I agree with that. It is bloody. It's based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. I just want to mention five things that the scripture tells us about the blood of Christ tonight before we partake. Number one, you need to understand that the Bible teaches that the blood of Christ is absolutely perfect. The blood that flowed through the veins of Jesus Christ, our Lord, was perfect. It was completely free of any sin. There was no taint of sin to it at all. And of course, that speaks of the sinless perfection of Jesus Christ. He is the Holy One, the perfect one. Paul says of him in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For he made him who knew no sin." Jesus knew no sin. In Hebrews chapter 7, the writer speaking of Jesus says, "He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners." John says of him in 1 John chapter 3, "In him there is no sin." The blood of Christ was perfect. When the Jews would sacrifice lambs for Passover or for just any sacrifice that they might need to make, were they allowed to bring just any lamb? Could they find a lamb with spots and say, hey, that'll work, or a handicapped lamb or some kind of a blemish? No, they couldn't do that. It had to be a perfect lamb. Jesus is called the Lamb of God, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. His blood was perfect. It's important to remember the doctrine of the virgin birth when you think about the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. That's a very important doctrine. Without it, you know, salvation isn't possible. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, wasn't he? He was born of the Virgin. A natural father would have imparted the sin nature of Adam to Christ, and his death would not have provided redemption. But Jesus didn't have a natural father. He was born of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. See, we're all born with sinful natures. Our blood's sinful. Jesus had no sinful nature. And so if you take his blood and you put it under the microscope and you look at it, you find sinless perfection. Number two, the Bible teaches that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed and was meant to be shed. That perfect blood that flowed through the veins of Jesus was meant to be spilled. And spilled it was at Calvary. The Gospels give us a very graphic description of what happened to Jesus on that first Good Friday. It was a slaughter. Jesus didn't just bleed a little, did he? It was a blood bath. All of his blood was poured out. The crown of thorns drew blood. The beatings drew blood. The scourging on his back, that drew blood. The nails in his hands, that drew blood. The nail in his feet, that drew blood. And of course, the spear that was thrust into his side drew blood and water. He shed his blood. His blood was poured out, and it was meant to be. Remember that Jesus willingly, voluntarily shed his blood. Nobody else shed his blood. He shed his blood. He gave his blood. What happened to Jesus wasn't an accident. It wasn't some unfortunate turn of events like, oops, Jesus got caught. It was planned. Why did Jesus shed his blood? Why did he come to shed his blood? Well, he told us. In Matthew chapter 26, when he's instituting the Last Supper for his disciples, he says, "This is the blood, my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Jesus said, "For I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many." So why did he come and voluntarily shed his perfect blood? That sinners might be forgiven. See, guilty sinners with sinful blood deserve death. We deserve condemnation because our God is holy, perfect. And sin is not allowed in his presence. But God, in his great love and mercy, sent Jesus to shed his blood on our behalf. And understand that the only sacrifice that was the one that would do the job would be the sacrifice of an innocent, perfect substitute. And that's why it had to be perfect blood that was shed. If there were any sin in Jesus and he went to the cross, he'd be dying for his own sins. But there was no sin in him. He died for our sins. By the way, he only had to die once. The sacrifice has been accomplished. Oh, and by the way, on the third day, he rose again. So his blood was shed. It accomplished all that it was meant to accomplish, and he rose again. So the Bible says his blood was perfect. His blood was shed and meant to be shed. The Bible also teaches, number three, that the blood of Christ is the most powerful cleansing agent in existence. Way more powerful than Clorox bleach. Mr. Clean. It wipes away the mildew, the stain, the wickedness of a human heart. The blood of Christ cleanses all of our sins. Not just a few, all. We're told in the scripture several times, John, giving worship to Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, says, "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Christ washes, cleanses, makes a guilty sinner like me clean. And folks, the Bible teaches that His cleansing power is perpetual. It's all-encompassing. The blood of Christ will wash away all of your sins in the past, all of your sins that you committed today in the present, and all of the sins that you will commit in the future. Even the grievous sins that perhaps some of us committed in our past, sins like adultery, murder, some of the big ones. A lot of people think, well, there's these big sins. Well, the blood of Christ washes those away too. Gives us a brand new start. Now, there may be some consequences that you have to face in this life. But if you give your life to Jesus, all your sins are cleansed. You're forgiven. His blood is that powerful. The psalmist said, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Isn't that cool? How far is the east from the west? As far as it gets. The blood of Christ washes away all sin. Now let me ask you, how does that work? Does that mean that all of the sins that we've committed just somehow get erased? Is it like they never happen? Well, you could think of it like that, but the best way to think about it is that not the fact that all those sins were just hand-waved away. The real thought is that all of those sins were paid for. All sin must be judged. Every sin. Sin doesn't just, you know, go away by itself. It has to be paid for. And that's the thing. The blood of Christ that was shed pays for the sins. That's what washes us. That's what allows us to stand before a holy God, pure and holy. Not because we are. But because we've been forgiven. I love this story that John Corson tells. He says, "In London many years ago, a minister and his young son were standing in their window, looking down at the street as a parade passed by. And in this parade, along with the clowns and marching bands, British soldiers marched in their red coats. 'Look at those soldiers, Daddy,' the little boy said. 'Look how white their coats are.' 'Their coats are red, son.' 'No, Daddy, they're white.' When the minister stooped down to his son's vantage point, he saw that his son was looking through a pane of stained glass that bordered the window, and seen through the red glass, the red coats appeared white. Suddenly a light went off in his head. 'That's it. Though my sins are scarlet, the Father looks at them through the filter of the blood of His Son, and sees me white and pure and clean.'" Isn't that beautiful? Blood of Christ cleanses. Number four, the Bible says that the blood of Christ protects us from judgment. It's a covering for us. Again, I'll mention the Passover. You remember what happened at the Passover. The nation of Israel is allowed to leave Egypt. And there were a series of plagues that were poured out upon Egypt. But you remember the 10th plague. The death angel was going to come and was going to kill the firstborn son in every household. And God told His people, in order to prepare for that, you need to find a spotless lamb without blemish, and you need to kill that lamb. And you need to take that blood and pour it out into a basin. And then you need to apply that blood to the doorposts. At midnight, when the death angel of judgment comes, if blood has been applied to that door, then the death angel will pass over. The household with the blood's protected. And then, of course, you remember the story. Midnight came, the death angel came, the Israelites had applied that blood, death angel passed over. The Egyptians did not apply that blood. They did not take that remedy. They were judged. Every firstborn son in Egypt died that night, and there was wailing and crying, but there was joy in the house of the saved. That's a very, very powerful picture of salvation. See, again, the Bible says that our sin incurs the wrath of God, the judgment of God upon sin. But if the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life, then you're covered. You're protected. And the judgment of God passes over you. You're no longer a child of wrath, but a child of grace. The blood of Christ protects, keeps us safe. And by the way, as Christians, the blood of Christ will keep us safe from all the attacks of the enemy. If the devil ever come to you and said, "You call yourself a Christian? Look at you. Look how miserable you are." And how easy it is to start agreeing with the devil. "Yeah, amen, Satan. I'm a sinner. Yeah." And a lot of Christians struggle with guilt. And they believe those lies that says, "You can't do anything." The Bible says we can raise up a standard. The blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. It's protective. Blood of Christ is perfect. The blood of Christ was shed and was meant to be shed. The blood of Christ cleanses. The blood of Christ protects. Just so you understand tonight, the blood of Christ isn't just automatically applied to your life. You actually have to take a step to apply it. Like the Israelites had to apply the blood to their doors. It just doesn't happen by itself. You have to apply the blood of Christ to your life. Christ has died. His blood has been shed. It can cleanse, it can protect, it can save, but not if you don't allow it to. And you need to understand that doesn't automatically happen. How do you apply the blood of Christ to your life? By surrendering and bowing before Jesus. By you coming to Christ for yourself and saying, "Yep, I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven of all my sins. I need to have all my sins washed away." And you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You embrace what he did at the cross. And that's when his blood gets applied to your life and washes you. Pure and clean, both now and forevermore. Amen. One more detail that I'd like to mention about the blood of Christ. The Bible also teaches, number five, and this is a given, that the blood of Jesus Christ is precious. And oh, how precious it is. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The precious, there's nothing more precious than the blood of Christ. Take anything that this world may offer you, all the gold, all the silver, all the wealth, whatever, doesn't even come close to the priceless, precious value of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because it washes us. It cleanses us. It saves us. It gets us right with God. It puts us on a road that leads to heaven. And it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we get to become members of God's family. And the scripture says that we become heirs, co-heirs with Christ in the family of God. Oh, how precious. Only comes by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. If you do that, you get it. You get it all. If you don't, you remain in your sin. And you'll be judged accordingly for your sin. See, Christians are simply sinners that have already had their sins judged at the cross. Have you had your sins forgiven? I love the story of the very wealthy old man who had an elaborate collection of Van Gogh and Monet paintings. His only son shared his father's interest in these rare paintings, and they would travel together around the world buying these paintings wherever they could find them. The son enlisted in the army and was placed in the medical corps. In a severe battle while carrying a wounded soldier to safety, the son was seriously wounded himself and died. The mother was dead already, and the news of the tragedy devastated the old father. He grieved in loneliness for months. One day a knock came at his door, and when he responded, he found a young man with a package. The young man explained that he was one of the several soldiers that the son had carried to safety. Knowing of his interest in paintings, he had painted a picture of the son and presented it to his dad. Now, the painting was not rare, but it was very precious to the old man because it was a good resemblance of his son. The man moved a very valuable painting from the mantle and placed the picture of his son in its place. Hour after hour, he sat in a rocker and gazed up at the image of his beloved son. When death came to him, the art collection was put up for sale. Hundreds of collectors came to bid. The auctioneer announced that the will stated that the picture of his son was to be auctioned first. You could hear an audible moan of disappointment. "Let's get on with the real paintings," one was heard to say. Well, the son's picture was held up and the auctioneer cried, "Who will give $100, $50, $25? There was no response. A kind old gentleman in the back asked, "Will you take $10? "Sold," said the auctioneer. "Good," cried the crowd. "Now we can get on with the auction." "Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the auction," announced the auctioneer. "What?" Then the statement was given. The will declared that the son's picture was to be sold and the person who took it would get all the rest. The old man who paid $10 for the picture of the son was suddenly amazed at the fact that he now owned all of those valuable paintings. The author goes on to say, when a person takes the Son of God, everything God has is included. We become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. And it's the precious blood that has made that all possible. The blood of Christ. Has it washed you? Do you know what this juice represents? If you're here this evening and you've never received Christ, you've never had all of your sins washed away, then you need to do so tonight before we distribute these elements. For those of us here tonight who know Jesus, the Bible says that we also need to prepare our hearts. Confess our sins and He will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Because the blood keeps cleaning, doesn't it? We're going to distribute in just a moment. But there's a couple of old gospel hymns that speak of the blood. And I'm going to want you to sing these with me before we do that. So do you have nothing but the blood, Margaret? Everybody knows these songs. So let's sing them.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Blood of the Lamb. We'll sing that again. working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
I'm going to ask my brothers to come on forward and grab the elements, and why don't you distribute it to everybody?